Well, hello, and welcome back to Racing Rundown. My name is, of course, Jack Sargent, and this is another episode of this podcast. And, you know, this is an episode of Racing Rundown that I have been so wishy-washy with. If you remember back to the end of this podcast, and it's a quasi-end, and if you remember back to the most recent episode that I did, though, it was an episode that I titled Farewell, Perhaps. And there was a reason that I did that with that episode. Now, it wasn't because I wanted to, you know, keep the door open to potentially coming back to doing Racing Rundown regularly, talking horses all the time, whatever. That's not why I titled that episode Farewell, Perhaps. I kept the door open, slightly open, for a few reasons. Number one, because in the last couple of days that before I released the final episode of Racing Rundown, I was pondering, and I actually referenced this on the podcast, but I was pondering the possibility of doing an episode of Racing Rundown with people who are still within the industry. I'm someone who has departed horse racing since then, but I kept that open because I wanted to have that as something that would possibly, as something that I would potentially, I wasn't up to do it at the point where I ended the podcast, or when we ended the podcast off. But I wanted to keep that open in case that ever, that opportunity, that position, that opening ever again created itself. And that's one of the reasons why I did that. The other reason that I did that simply was because if there was ever the opportunity for Eric and I to do an episode of Racing Rundown and end it the way that I wanted to end things, I wanted to have that opportunity also. So, you know, that's a little bit of an insight into why I titled that episode the way that I did. Now, this is not me coming on to Racing Rundown to talk Kentucky Derby or talk Saudi Cup things. I obviously know that those things have happened because I don't live under a rock. I still have friends who are in horse racing. It's still stuff that comes up on my social media timeline. So, you know, I'm not completely out of the loop. If you ask me who any horses on the Kentucky Derby trail were, I could probably name one or two to you, and it's just basically amounts to the horses that I've seen on social media, whatnot. But that's not why I'm here today. The title of this episode is Into the Great Beyond, and that's how I describe where I see myself with this sport. But I also am going to, sometime within the next month, and it's very fluid. This has been something that's been pushed back based on my availability, really only my availability and lack of time to do it. But at some point in the future, I'm hoping within the next month, I would like to host that Racing Rundown roundtable with people within the industry to talk about the year that 2023 was for horse racing. Now, we're almost 3 months into the year of 2024, but 2023 is a year that I think horse racing should remember and study and think about the effects of for forever. I don't think that 2023 is a year that should be forgotten. Now, this is a little bit anticlimactic, for lack of a better term, but this is kind of an episode that's coming later than I wanted it to be. Originally, I had planned to do this towards the end of 2023, first couple weeks of 2024. Then I was going to have it around the time where it would have been 1 year. Where it would have been the 5 year of me having done Racing Rundown. That was the way that I could tie it in. And now at this point, I didn't like the previous take. This is not the first take that I've done of this episode. I didn't like the previous take. So here we are again on February 28th, very late, I should say, also on the night of February 28th, but on February 28th, doing a podcast talking about horse racing. And I wanted to do this podcast because I wanted to use this as a lead-in to that roundtable, which I will not consider myself a host for. What I'm aiming to do with that is moderate a discussion amongst people who are in horse racing about everything. Everything from last year to the sport as a whole. Just everything involving this sport. And one of the things that I wanted to do as a lead-in to this was talk about myself and this sport. Because This is, it's not something that shocks anybody. I did not end on great terms with horse racing. I did not end my time in horse racing in a great place, of course. I discussed this on the farewell episode, and it was something that the date, August 26th, and the events of that day were events that hit me very hard. And some of it was because I was there for it, but whatever factors went into me and the way that August 26th, the effect that it had not only on my position in the sport, but on my outlook on horse racing in general, were significant. And it's no secret that I have been very upfront about my disagreements with, and this was even before August 26th, and I ended Racing Rundown. But this was stuff that was there before. But whenever I have talked about horse racing since the end of Racing Rundown, primarily when I'm doing it on Twitter, it's not something that I've done in a very positive light. It's not something that I say many kind things about horse racing. And I wanted to talk about all that because at the end of the day, I'm not someone who hates this sport. I hate what this sport has become, and I hate so many aspects of horse racing. And I wanted to talk about all of that because I think that this serves as a lead-in to this episode, and especially when I see myself as someone who still, at the end of the day, roots for the best interest of this sport and roots for this sport to be successful long-term. I want to provide that context, even though I'm going to be someone who, number one, is on the outside looking in, but also is going to be someone who is very, I think it's very important to not shy away from the negative aspects of this sport. So I don't want to go into giant details about everything, because I've made this very clear on this podcast before. I've said on numerous occasions, and I do apologize that Racing Rundown's archive is no longer up on the podcast platforms. There's a few episodes that are still up in places. I don't know why what the episodes that are still up are up, and what the algorithm about selecting what those are is. I don't have control over that. I think there's 5 or 6 episodes that are still up. Again, I don't know what goes into the fact that those are the episodes that are up or whatnot, but there's still a few that are up, but overall, most of the stuff from the past of this podcast is no longer, and it's because I don't pay to maintain it anymore. Obviously, I still have most of the episodes. I think I have all of them. There's some that might be lost to time, but most of them I have on various hard drives that I have, but that's not the point. The point is that I have said, I've made it clear on so many occasions how I feel about this sport in general. But I wanted to talk about some of the things that led to not only the end, but also where things are now. Because that's why I titled this episode, Into the Great Beyond. This is an episode where I'm kind of, I'm sitting here. It's been 6 months since August 26th. It's been 6 months since I made the decision that, hey, we are going to end this podcast. And, you know, it's something, and I'll talk about that, because it's not something that's been so easy. It's been very easy at times, and it's been very hard at times, the way that things happen. But we're going to talk about that today. So I want to go back to around the time when I sort of came to the realization that it was time for this podcast to come to an end. And I'm going to get to a story that I want to tell in a few minutes, because this was a story that this particular story was a story that I was waiting for, that I saved for the final episode of Racing Run and the final farewell episode that never did happen. But it was a decision that did not come lightly for me, because there's two things that I will always say about this sport. Number one, it's meant so much to me because of what it's done, what it's done for me, both in terms of an aspect of making me a better broadcaster, better journalist, whatever word you want to use for it, but also because of the people that I met as a result of this sport. I've met several people that are very, very good friends of mine, including the person who I hosted this podcast with for 4.5 years, as a result of this show. And it was very hard to come to the realization that it was that this show had to come to an end. And that was one of the real big things that I always said about horse racing was, even though it came to this, it just because all the bad things that happened at the end that soured me on horse racing and made it so that I couldn't bear to keep going forward in it, I always said that doesn't, and I remember saying this on the farewell episode that I did, that doesn't take away from what we were able to do and what we did on this podcast. And I'm still so incredibly proud of the product that we had and just everything that we did throughout the course of doing this show. And none of that goes away because this stuff happened. It actually made it that much more difficult when it finally did become time to have to say goodbye to this show. So I'll get to this story that I wanted to tell now. This is, so it wasn't my last day, because August 26th was, but my last day when I was still in horse racing, I guess you could say, is the Belmont Stakes of this past year, 2023. And I had made the decision before Belmont Day, Belmont Saturday, that we were going to end this podcast. I think I talked about this again on the farewell episode, that I had made the decision that, you know, we were going to end Racing Rundown and I was going to pursue other things on the ride over to Belmont Park, of all places, to pick up our credentials for our WRHU credentials for that day. So, and I remember one of the things that I did for myself going into Belmont Day 2023 was say, you know, take these 2 days, put everything for the future out of your head, and just enjoy being in horse racing, and whatever comes afterwards will be dealt with on Monday. And I remember sending Eric a text. I specifically waited until 11:59 p.m. on Thursday, June 8th, to send Eric a text saying, and at that point, we hadn't officially discussed things, but we both kind of knew where things were going. I said to him, I'm not thinking about anything for the future. I'm not thinking about any, as I called them, unhappy thoughts. I'm just going to enjoy these next 2 days. And I said to myself, you got to do everything that you can, everything that you would want to do going into your final Belmont Stakes. And I did do all of those things. I got the opportunity to be in a winner's circle picture. I was invited there by my friend, Aaron Yagoda, after his trainer won a race. It wasn't one of his horses, but it was his trainer. So I was there. I was very appreciative of him for that. Got the opportunity to obviously cover races from the paddock that day. You know, be there for a Belmont Stakes in general. All of that fun stuff. And I'm incredibly grateful, thankful, whatever the word is for it, that I got to have that opportunity. But when I look back at Belmont Day 2023, and I think this story, and whenever I tell this one back to myself, it always encapsulates everything that this sport meant to me. Because, again, I come off as someone, I'm very hard on horse racing these days. I rip it. I say negative things about it. I focus more on the negatives of horse racing now than on positive aspects of it. But that doesn't mean that those positive aspects and the great things that racing did for my life and my career were not there. And my lasting memory of really my entire time in horse racing was, it was after the Belmont Stakes. So what we ended up doing, us and the four people, myself and the four people that I went to the Belmont Stakes with from the radio station, we were primarily doing a social media day because we had already had our show. I had done things a day prior. We were primarily doing a social media thing. And so the way that we did things that day was, after the Belmont Stakes, you know, we did social media in the lead up to it. After the Belmont Stakes, we said, okay, we're going to go find a place somewhere near the paddock, and we're going to shoot a wrap-up video for our coverage of the Belmont Stakes. And we were deciding how we were going to do that. And initially, I suggested that we just do something with everyone. And the other four people said, no, this is your sport. This is your day. You take it. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't really want to do it. So it ended up being a social media video that we shot. And I honestly didn't really want to do the video because that entire weekend, I had said to myself, even though I knew that I was moving on from horse racing, I said, I'm not going to think about this. This is not stuff that we're gonna talk about. We're going to let come in, let ruin this day. Not ruin this day, but let cast a cloud over this day. And right after they crossed, not right after they crossed the finish line, but after they crossed the finish line for the Belmont Stakes and, you know, it was time for us to, you know, begin to leave for the day, I was starting to think about everything and coming to the realization that, you know, this really is over. This really is over. I wasn't going to be doing anything up at Saratoga for the radio station. I was going to go to the track. I had it determined that I was going to the track two more times. The first time was going to be when I went to the track with Andrew, another one of the great people that I've met as a result of this sport, to Belmont for the final time. And I had decided about making that trip out to San Diego that I've referenced to do the final episode of Racing Rundown in person with Eric. So the way that the day ended up working out was, or the way that this ended up working out is we go down to the paddock. And of course, Belmont was won by Arcangelo, Jenna Antonucci. And we get to shooting the video. And we had, I think, four takes of the video. It took us four tries to do the video. And the reason that it took us so long to do the video was because I kept screwing up Jenna Antonucci's name. I don't remember what I was saying, but I kept flubbing up her name. And it wasn't because I didn't know how to say her name. Because I had, you know, heard her in the lead up to the Belmont Stakes, blah, 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 all that stuff. The reason that I kept flubbing her name and why we had to do four takes of the video was because I was beginning to get emotional because it was in my head that, you know, this is it. After we click off this video, that's the end of this chapter. And I was starting to get a little emotional about that. And the video in and of itself, and I don't have a copy of the video personally, but I know because, number one, I saw the video, but I also know what I was doing in it. When I was doing that video, I was not looking at the camera. It's the strangest video that I've ever done before because my eyes were all over the place. I was looking everywhere but the camera, and it's really funny to look back and think about that just based on in terms of how wandering I was with it. But that was because I was trying to keep myself together through this video. So we shot the video, they clicked off, and my friends who from the radio station were looking at the video, making sure that, you know, we were good to post it, whatnot. But I knew that my work on that was done, that we weren't gonna have to do another take. So we were on the grandstand side of the paddock at Belmont, and I turned around and walked down to the bottom step of the paddock at Belmont Park. And I just looked out into the paddock. And this is where this moment comes in. I looked out into the paddock and they were walking the horses around for the final race. And the less said about that final race, the better. But I looked out into the paddock and everything started to hit me at the same time. And I was remembering everything from all the work that we had done for this podcast to my start in horse racing when I was a little sixth grader watching California Chrome in the Preakness for the first time. Everything that we had done for Racing Rundown. Belmont in my previous Belmont Stakes the year prior, which is a day that has meant so much to me from a professional career broadcast standpoint. All of that, everything hit me at the same time. And as I was looking out into the paddock, looking out into that pine tree out there, I was overcome. And I just put my head down on the railing there at Belmont, and I broke down. And I stayed there for maybe about 5 or 10 seconds, and then I picked my head up and I turned around, and my friends, they saw me, and I don't know at that point if they knew, and this is how I've always described it. I don't know at that point if they knew how much horse racing meant to me before coming into that day or even before that moment. I think they did, but I'm confident that in that moment they knew then. And the lasting part of this moment was when I picked my head up and turned around, my friend Ronnie, who was on Racing Rundown on several occasions, he came over and he just grabbed me, embraced me. And in that moment, it was one of those moments where I just let myself, like, I let everything go at that moment. And I still look back to that moment and I think to myself, that's what it meant to me. That my last time at Belmont Park, and I'm starting to get a little bit misty in my eyes right now. My last time at Belmont Park, my last time covering this sport from at a professional level, elicited that reaction from me because it meant so much to me. And I so wish that it could have been different. And I've sent messages to Eric before, said things to other people about this. Like, I think very highly of the product that we have, and I've always said that I'm very disappointed that it had to end the way that it did, and it had to end how it did, because I think that we could have continued on and continued to produce a great, great product, great show. And the fact that it was over at that point was something that was something that brought that reaction out of me. And I'm going to say this, and this is probably not the most, I don't know if mature is the right way to phrase this, or, you know, if this is a juvenile way to look at it. I'm using age terms just for lack of a better term right now, because I can't really think of how to describe it. But I hold a lot of resentment for figures within horse racing that I hold responsible for bringing the sport to the place that it is right now, because I hold them responsible for creating those circumstances. And a lot of those circumstances were things that drove me from this sport. And I want to talk a little bit about August 26th now, because I think August 26th is a day that, you know, I've said this before, I think August 26th is a day that racing should remember always. Racing should remember it as much as racing remembers October 27th, 1990, even though October 27th, 1990 did not elicit the response that it should have elicited from horse racing. That's not something that I'm going to get into right now. But I wanted to talk about that day because that's a day that has had so much of an influence on where I am now. So obviously I mentioned that horse racing, and I had decided that I was going to leave horse racing, but I kind of felt like we were still in a place where I could be on decent terms. Like, if we're going to talk about it this way, I was on decent terms with horse racing in the lead up to August 26th. You know, I kind of did, if you remember during the summer, I kind of did a cycle. I brought people on, had a conversation with Jay Pribman, had a conversation with Richard Hoyles, and I had wanted to do with Eric, and Eric and I did do this, but we had wanted to do a final episode of Racing Rundown, doing things like we always did, just talking horses, picking them like we always did. And we did that in the lead up to the Travers. And I remember being very looking forward to that episode, being very excited to do that episode, because for me, that was always the most enjoyable aspect and thing that I enjoyed the most about this sport was producing a show and just talking with someone about this sport for 2 hours, which is what we did every day. Which is what we did every week. You know, give or take, we did miss a few weeks, but overall, it's what we did every week. And I wasn't going to go to the Travers because, I went to Belmont my last time on Stars and Stripes weekend of 2023. and I had not wanted to go to the Travers. It had been questioned to me. I had friends going to the Travers, including Andrew, and the question was posed to me, do you want to go to the Travers? Are you going to go to the Travers? You know, a bunch of us are going to go. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go so much that I specifically scheduled to call games on Friday the 25th and Saturday the 26th because I didn't want to be tempted to go to the Travers. And ultimately, and I've referenced this before, things worked out in another way. A broadcast got canceled on August 26th, or a broadcast for August 26th got canceled, I should say. And it ended up in the position where I had the opportunity to get my hands on a ticket if I wanted to. And I just said, what the hell, why not go? Because, you know, I have friends who are going to be there. We're going out to San Diego. I'm going to go see, you know, I'm going to go do this as a warm-up for the farewell weekend at Del Mar in San Diego with Eric. So that's what I did. I went to the Travers that day, and I was looking forward to it because of, like I said, it was an opportunity to do something again for the last time that I had done so many times. Now, I'm not someone who holds Saratoga in the up in the echelon or with the reverence that some people have. And that's not me saying that those people shouldn't feel that way about Saratoga. That's just not the way that I feel. I wasn't going because I felt like I needed one more time at Saratoga. I was just going because I happened to have friends there, and honestly, that was more than anything else. And obviously, I've talked about this. I wish that I did not go that day. And I referenced this the last time that I talked about Racing Rundown. I'm not going to get into the details of what happened in the race because we all know what happened. But it was the first, it was a moment where everything changed. And I've said this before, and I've said this not before, I should say. I've said this in conversations I've had with people about horse racing because I've been asked by people, you know, primarily people that I'm friends with at the radio station here at Hofstra, why did you leave? And it's such a complicated, overarching question to answer. And the simple answer to that question, which is the answer that I give to people so many times, is you weren't there on August 26th. You know, I referenced being excited, you know, feeling like I was ending on relatively good terms with horse racing. You know, I was going to spend a day at the track with people that I knew. It was something that I had done countless times before. I didn't really care how much money I was going to make or not make that day. And then the following week, I was going to go out to San Diego, do the same thing, and have a final episode with a person who I shared this podcast with for 4.5 years and became not only had a great on-air partnership, I say on-air, you know, we were pre-recorded, whatever, but a great red light dynamic with, as in addition to just being a good friend of mine. I was really looking forward to that. And all of that was shattered on August 26th, and I just couldn't bear to go forward. And I remember that day, and just I was broken after New York Thunder went down, and it was apparent to me immediately what had happened. And I talked about this on my friend Andrew's show, One Turn Route, back at the beginning of the year, but I'll describe it a little bit here. Initially, I was just stunned, then I was angry, and then I was sad. And the prevailing feeling for the rest of the day and the rest of those next couple of days were just sad. I was, as I said, I was a broken person that day. And I remember when I ultimately decided that I was going to leave Saratoga that day. I left Saratoga, I think, when there were 4 or 5 races left. I know I left before the Travers. And it was one of those things where I just couldn't bear to be there any longer. It just caused me so much pain to see what had happened that day. And a little bit selfishly, to see that I say this is selfishly because I should not think so much about myself in this instance, but I'll say it because that's the way that I was thinking, that I was devastated that the sport that I loved had fallen to this level. And that was one of the things that made it so difficult, in addition to the obvious factor. And I know when I was leaving, and it's the strangest walk back that I've ever had. I left the entrance of Saratoga and I parked in the free parking lot, which was all the way back through the barn area. And I walked that trip back to my car because I didn't want to wait for a bus. I just wanted to go home. I have never wanted to just go home. I'd say I'm stuttering right now because I don't know that I've ever just wanted to go home more than I've ever wanted to. And I wasn't wearing great shoes that day on that walk back to my car. But I've never wanted a walk to end faster. And I was trying to walk as fast as I could, but I wasn't going to run because A, I wasn't in shoes that were good running shoes. And B, I didn't really want to run, but I just wanted to get to my car so that I could go home. And I remember I made that walk back and I got to my car and I may have taken my shoes off and put a different pair of shoes on, or I may have just sat down in my car. What one way or another, when I sat down, I just put my head on my steering wheel and I broke down. Because at that point, I knew that it was over. And I said to myself, and I remember, and I'm not the only person who remembers this from this day, but I remember saying to myself, I just hope something good comes out of it, comes out of this day. And for me, at least personally, something did. And I've always hoped that the same could come from horse racing. And I've talked about the things that have pushed me from this sport, the greed and the lack of respect for the longevity of this sport, and the fact that, you know, people have made decisions for decades which have brought horse racing to the point where it is. And I'll say this about it, because I talked about this on my first farewell episode that I did back in September. It's something, my horse racing experiences is stuff that I still see constantly, because it's been something that had such an impact on my life and was so important to me. I kept many things from horse racing. I kept my outro whenever I sign off a show, which I'm going to do at the end of this one, is have a good one, folks. When I'm doing commentary for sports games, I keep so many callbacks, and I do so many callbacks to Racing Rundown, whether it's just simple one-liners that I used to say all the time on the podcast, and some of them are so ingrained, some of horse racing is so ingrained with me that I just say it second nature because it's how I speak. Some of it is intentional. One of my favorite callbacks to Racing Rundown, and the show that I produce now is called The Locker Room, and one of my favorite callbacks to Racing Rundown was one that I did with one of my friends on Hofstra's women's soccer team. It was a girl from England named Amy Hodgson, and in a game that we played that I did commentary for, she scored 2 goals in a game. And the following week, she was named Conference Player of the Week. And one of the lines, Eric said it more than I did, but one of the lines that we said so often on Racing Rundown was, we're going to give this horse their flowers. And in that segment, when we were talking about her having that award, I said, I specifically said, I'm going to do a callback to Racing Rundown here. And I said, we're going to give Amy Hodgson some flowers this week for the 2 goals that she had against Elon and the award that she had, the Player of the Week award that she had. And I sent it to Eric. I remember cutting that clip and sending it to Eric. And Eric texted me and said, you're giving me all the feels with this one. And I said, I hope that I did, because that was 100% intentional. I said that on air so that I could cut it and send it to you. and also so that I could have that callback to Racing Rundown. And I think about all of this stuff. And, you know, sometimes, as I said, simple one-liners. When I say it was a powerhouse game for D-Stone Dubar today in Hofstra's whatever happened there. When I have those callbacks to Racing Rundown, it's because I appreciate so much of what this sport meant to me. And I say this about racing. I say this about horse racing. I didn't leave horse racing. Horse racing left me. And I wish that it had been different. I wish that people had taken some of the issues with this sport seriously and not made it so that things ended up happening the way that they did in 2023. And I have been doing a lot of introspection and reflecting on horse racing these past couple of months, because I'm not gonna deny it's been hard. Some things specifically have been hard. I don't miss the day-to-day handicapping aspect of horse racing, you know, watching races, picking horses, whatnot. I don't miss those things. I have been able to be very, very okay with not picking winners, betting on races, things like that. It's probably been for the benefit that I don't bet on horse races anymore. That's not the stuff that I've missed. The stuff that I've missed have been the production standpoints of this podcast. Doing this podcast with Eric every week. You know, having the passion for horse racing that I did, and the passion to produce a product like I produce. Because Racing Rundown was something, and Racing Rundown was something that was so significant to me that I, to my detriment, in the year 2022, prioritized doing things for Racing Rundown over doing things here, which I don't regret doing things that way, because I'm very happy that I got to have 2022 be my year where Racing Rundown was everything. But I consciously gave up opportunities and kind of set myself back a little bit here. And that's something that I like I said, I don't regret it, but it happened. And it happened because of how much things in this sport did end up meaning to me. And so I've been doing a lot of reflecting, thinking about stuff like this. And one of the things that I was doing recently the other day was reading some stories and articles from the past about this sport. And I stumbled upon two stories from the New York Times. The first one that I stumbled upon was one from 2 days after the 1990 Breeders' Cup. And there were things that Steve Crist, who was writing for the New York Times at that point, said about horse racing. I'm not going to read the Steve Crist quote directly. I can save this for another time, possibly even that roundtable episode. But Steve Crist said some things in the story that he was writing that spoke volumes to me in terms of, I legitimately said, this is why things happened the way that they did. But the other story that I read was one from 1995, and it was in the lead-up to the Breeders' Cup that was at Belmont Park in 1995, which was going to be the first one to be run at Belmont Park after the events of 1990. And this particular story that I read was one that took interviews. Interviews were done with all the various people who had things happen to them on October 27th, or were involved in some way in the day October 27th. There was an interview with Tom Durkin, and there was an interview with Lafitte Pinkai. There was an interview with Billy Badgett. But there were two things that stood out to me from that article, that story. The first one was quotes from trainer Mark Reed, who was the trainer of Shaker Knit. Now, if you remember, there were three horses that were lost on October 27th, 1990. There were two that went down in the sprint. Mr. Nickerson was the one that had the heart attack and died quickly. I don't remember whether or not he died instantly or died a few minutes, died shortly after. Whatever happened, he was the one who died first. Shaker Nip was the name of the other horse who was lost after he fell over the fallen horse. Mark Reed was the gentleman who trained Shaker Nip. And I'm going to read a quote from Mark Reed. And when I was reading this story, I copy and pasted this quote into a note. And I said, and I captioned it for myself that this sounds so similar to the way that I took the events of August 26th, 2023. Wayne Luke, so I'm reading now. Wayne Lucas once said that for every good thing that happens in this game, there are 12 or 15 bad things. I used to accept that as a fact, but it started to bother me. Why live for the one good thing through 10 bad things? I lost my stomach for it. And I remember thinking to myself, that's exactly where I was on August 26th, I'm mixing the dates up, August 26th, 2023. There were so many things, so many great things that came out of horse racing. But for me, it just became so hard to bear. And one of the reasons that I didn't go out to San Diego was because I couldn't bear to go out. It was still too fresh. And it still is too fresh. I have been adamant this year when it has come up, the potential conversation of us doing stuff, WRGU doing stuff for the Belmont Stakes. I have been adamant. I do not want to go to the Belmont Stakes this year. I do not want to cover the Belmont Stakes because it's too soon. I can't go back to Saratoga after the events of August 26th. The other quote is from Jose Santos, and I'll say about this one specifically, this one hit me especially hard because this is exactly what I did. And this particular quote, when I read this, actually made me cry because this was, again, this was the exact same thing that I did that day. And Jose Santos, on October 27th, 1990, won two Breeders' Cup races that day. And if you remember, first of all, Jose Santos rode Meadowstar and he rode Fly So Free. So he rode the two juvenile winners. And Jose Santos was actually the rider of Shaker Nit. And Jose Santos was sore. And one of the things that I was reading earlier on in this story was Jose Santos said that he rode hurt because he didn't want to lose the opportunity to ride the two juvenile winners that he was riding. He was riding Colonial Waters in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. And Colonial Waters was the third choice in that race. Jose Santos knew that he was riding for third, and he said that he was content to be third. He hoped he would be third in that race. And so Jose Santos was up on Colonial Waters in that race. And Colonial Waters, if anyone's seen the replay, which I'm sure a lot of people have seen that replay, of the head-on shot of after Gopher Wand goes down, there's a horse that veers out around her. That horse was Colonial Waters, and that was Jose Santos, who was aboard Colonial Waters. So I'll read the quote from Jose Santos now, and as I said, this was the quote that made me cry, because this was the exact same thing that I did on August 26th. Quote, I knew Gopher Wand had broken her leg, but as I went by, I prayed to God. I had been blessed on this day. I didn't want it to end this way. And that quote spoke so many volumes to me. And when I read that, I couldn't help but think of me. And Jose Santos had been blessed to win two Breeders' Cup races on that day. And I have been blessed by this sport for so many opportunities. And I credit horse racing so much for where I am today. And I prayed too. I knew what had happened. I didn't need anybody to tell me what was going on. I knew what was happening. And I just prayed that something good would come out of that day. And that's one of those things that when I read something like that, when I reflect on that day, you know, I've spoken about August 26th. My commentary partner for Hofstra soccer season for the past season was my friend Julia Kavanaugh. And I had Julia Kavanaugh on my other podcast back at the end of November. And one of the reasons that I did my first game with Julia was because I didn't travel out to Del Mar. I did my first game with her on August 31st. It was my first game with that Hofstra women's soccer team that I've talked about on a couple occasions here on this podcast, that I'm so grateful that I got the chance to spend an entire season with. But that first game I did because I didn't go out to San Diego. And I remember specifically, I chose, as soon as I made it clear to myself that I wasn't going to make the trip out, I signed up to do 5 Hofstra games across that week because I didn't want to have things happening when I could have potentially been in San Diego. And as I said, I was a broken person. I was shattered that day, and I still felt like I was shattered the next day. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to move on quickly. I tried to move on as quickly as I could from it. But I ended there with horse racing, and I read those quotes because they speak so much volume to me about where I feel myself, where I was with this sport. This is a sport, as I said, that has meant so much to me. As I said, I'm going to keep saying as I said. I'm sorry for repeating myself, but I stutter sometimes when I get to difficult topics like this. As I said, this sport's done so much for me, and I don't think I am where I am today without it. And it's painful for me to see what it's become. And it's also difficult for me to ever want to go back, because that's my, I say my lasting memory is, and I'm so grateful to my friends from the radio station because they made that day the type of day that I can look back on and say, I can pretend like this was the last time. It wasn't the last time. And I wish that it had been the last time. I wish that the last couple of times in New York were that day and that Stars and Stripes day. Ultimately, it didn't work out that way. But I will always hold that I will always hold this sport close to me because of everything that it's meant to me. And that's one of the reasons why I want to do this podcast, this roundtable, because I feel that horse racing has problems. Those problems drove me from the sport, but I don't think they're all-encompassing. I don't think that they're beyond repair. I think that horse racing can, if folks in it are serious about it, can do things the right way and can fix things. And that's why I want to offer a platform for that. And so we're going to do that. Some point in the future, in the next couple of months, Ryan Metzger, who's on Twitter as a Counterpoint Thoroughbreds, he's going to be one of the people who I've been conversing with him about it. He's going to be one of the people that I'm going to be involving in this. And he's, like, as I said, he's been the primary person that I've been conversing with. And Ryan was someone that I spoke to initially the day after August 26th because he said so many things on Twitter. There was one thing that I did on August 26th. I didn't post things on social media because I couldn't bear to, with the exception of one thing. I wrote out a little statement in a Google document, and I posted it on my Instagram because I wanted people who knew about my involvement in horse racing, who may have potentially seen what had happened, and even if they hadn't, to know that this was the way that things were ending. But I said to Ryan, because Ryan said so many things on that day and that weekend that I felt like were exactly what needed to be said, but were also things that I was thinking. And Ryan has some great ideas. Ryan has great thoughts, great opinions. And I'm not saying this because Ryan agrees with me on the direction of the sport. I'm saying this because Ryan is correct. And that's one of the reasons why I want him, because I think Ryan has ideas. Like, I think Ryan's points and vision for the sport makes a lot of sense. And so he's going to be on. There's going to be a few other people who are going to come on this roundtable. Haven't finalized all that, but that's going to be to come. I will moderate it, and we will have it up on this platform, potentially other ones, but that's going to be the big thing for Racing Rundown. So as I said, farewell perhaps, because I wanted to keep this open. And I wanted to, as a lead into this, and this was a very long 50-minute lead-in to a podcast that's probably going to push an hour, that roundtable. But I wanted to do a little bit of reflection because I've been doing that the past few weeks, thinking about where I stand with this sport and what it's been like having walked away from something that was so much a part of my life for basically the entirety of my collegiate life and even before that. So I say into the great beyond because I've moved on. I'm happy with where I am now. This is, I'll close with this. I always said that I was sad with how things ended with horse racing. And I so wish that we had gotten to end Racing Rundown the way that I had wanted to. And I have a feeling, at least in terms of me personally, as to why that wasn't the case. And that, you know, be that reason, whatever that may be. But I'm sad that we didn't get to do it, but I'm at peace with how things happened. And that's what I said on my farewell episode of Racing Rundown. I'm at peace with the way that things happened. And that's not to say that I'm okay with it. That's not to say that I like it. It's to say that it happened and I've come to terms with it. And that's where I stand with horse racing. I don't regret the decisions that I've made. I feel like all of them were for the best. But that doesn't mean that it's not tough. And that doesn't mean that it's not hard. And that doesn't mean there aren't days where I think, you know, we had such a great podcast. We had such a great product. I miss just shooting the shit about racehorses for 2 hours with Eric on this podcast. That doesn't mean that those days don't happen. I don't sit here saying, I miss going to the track and betting $700 on 80 trifectas, all that stuff. I'm being hyperbolic here. But things happen the way that they did. I'm at peace with how they happened. But it's still something that I'm sad about. I'm sad that it had to come to this. But since it did, this is all we can do. And on another aspect, you know, I'm glad that I got to do things the way that I got to do them, and I'm happy with where I am now. Again, in another world, in a world where horse racing was not run into the ground for 3 decades before this, there both things could have happened. But that's not how it was supposed to work out. So that's going to be it for this lead into this roundtable podcast. Again, next couple of weeks, we will be joined by a number of people within horse racing to talk about the problems. You know, I'm a big person for talking about the issues, but also talk about the solutions too. So I hope you'll tune in for that. And if you did come back, I'm glad that you were able to. I'm glad that you decided to take another listen to this podcast. It's not the same. You know, it's not the Talking Kentucky Derby, but I'm glad that you came back if you came here, and I hope that you'll be back for the next one. We'll see you next time.